Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent this afternoon, and we're talking to our television man, Alex Zalbin, host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast at comicbookclublive.com. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Wendy. How are you doing?
Great. I was just talking before we got you on. I'm kind of hooked on these crazy true crime documentaries. I watched The Crash, which is, it follows this case involving a 17-year-old girl who intentionally crashed her car into a brick wall in Ohio. She killed her boyfriend and his friend. And it's just a crazy story. And should I say I enjoyed it? I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm into it.
Yeah, you know, there's something about these true crime documentaries that draws in. Obviously, they're huge. People watch them. The streamers keep making them. I personally, they're not my thing just because I like fiction, you know, and I focus on fiction. But they're never going to stop making them. And certainly, at their best, they do illuminate something about the human condition or give us warnings about things that could happen to us. But at their worst, they are exploitative, and that happens as well.
Yeah, like I just started watching Should I Marry a Murderer? And my answer is no. But I'll.
Yes,
I'll,
a little bit of a spoiler, but no, you should not.
I'll finish watching it. And on a completely other spectrum, the other end of the spectrum here, I just want to highly commend the show Rooster. One of the best shows I've ever seen featuring Steve Carell. And every time there is a character on, and Jamie Tart is in it too. I can't remember his real name.
Bill Dunster.
Okay. Anytime there is a character on the screen, I'm like, I love her. I love him. The guy from Scrubs, too. I can't remember his name. He is. Who is that?
John C. McGinley. Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, oh, my God. He is so ridiculously funny.
It's great. It's a fantastic cast. For anybody who hasn't checked it out, it is streaming in full on HBO Max now, the entire 10-episode season, and it stars Steve Carell as a writer who goes back to his old university for a gig and ends up guest teaching there. And yeah, it's funny. It comes from Bill Lawrence, who is the guy behind Scrubs, Ted Lasso, Shrinking, so many other great comedies. I'll give a shout out to Daniel Deadwyler, who plays another professor at the school, who is kind of his romantic interest, kind of his foil at points. She is so dry and so funny, and I haven't really seen her in too much stuff, but I thought she was phenomenal as well.
Is she Dylan? Does she play the character of Dylan?
She's
wonderful. She and any time, and the girl who plays his daughter, I just love her. I honestly have never watched a show. Well, Shrinking. That's the other show that I love, and I love every character.
This formula, I mean, they're all gradations of the same thing. If you look at Ted Lasso, Shrinking, and Rooster, where it's a comedy star, you've got Jason Sudeikis in one, Jason Segel in another. Here you got Steve Carell. They're a man in their 40s or 50s who has hit a hitch in their life, usually having something to do with their wife, either their estranged wife or their passed away wife or something like that. And they're looking for new meaning, and they find it in some way with their job, whether it's coaching a soccer team, or it is through psychology, or in this case, returning to university and teaching there. And, you know, it seems like they should be very similar, but because you have these very different casts and these very different focuses, they all feel fresh and new, and they're just very comfortable, warm blankets of shows.
That is a great way of putting it. And speaking of Steve Carell, who just everyone fell in love with him and sometimes hated him on The Office, but he was endearing, that's for sure. He was also on the Four Seasons, wasn't he? Or am I imagining this?
No, you're absolutely correct. And I'm going to be a little hesitant here to talk about spoilers. He may or may not be in the second season of the show, which is going to be premiering tomorrow on Netflix. It was based on the classic movie from Alan Alda, but it expands it greatly so that each 8-episode season, not to say the word season too much, but they focus on a different season based on Vivaldi is the four seasons, and I swear I'll stop now. So you get 8 episodes, 2 are based on fall, 2 are based in winter, spring, summer. And it's a group of friends who are all adults. Their lives are changing in different ways. The cast is great. You've got Tina Fey and Will Forte as one of the couples. Colman Domingo is a hot streak right now, is in it. Kerry Kinney Silver, who I know from The State, the comedy group back in the day, is fantastic in it as well. So the first season is all on Netflix. Steve Carell's in the first season. Again, may or may not be in the second season. But you can check that out when it debuts in full tomorrow.
Well, I will watch that. And I think I heard the news about whether or not he's on there, but I will leave it out there and we'll see. How did the new Star Wars Mandalorian and Grogu movie do so far?
Sure. So this has been a lot of conversation with box office aficionados because it's the first theatrical Star Wars movie in, I want to say, 9 years, if I have it correct. And the answer is it did okay. It made $167 million worldwide, $98 million in the 4 day at the U.S. box office, which I think any of us, as well as anybody listening, would be more than happy to make that in a weekend. For a Star Wars movie, it puts it at the low end below Solo, a Star Wars movie that came out in 2018, that thus far was the lowest grossing weekend Star Wars movie, and that was considered a failure. However, The Mandalorian has had really good exit interviews for audiences. Generally, families have been enjoying it. Kids have been enjoying it. It seems to skew a little younger. So the big test is going to be see how much legs it has going into the second weekend. If it can hold on to some of that almost $100 million gross in weekend two, then it might be doing okay. If not, they're probably going to have to reassess how they do Star Wars going forward.
And you liked it, didn't you?
I did. I had a fun time. I've had a lot of conversations with people about it. People who are more invested in the lore of Star Wars seem a little upset because it's not dealing with the overarching themes or ideas. But really, it's a tiny little green puppet and his silver-helmeted daddy going around the galaxy having adventures. I thought it was cute and charming. There's a whole section with just puppets running around doing great classic Henson puppetry stuff. I had a nice time. Get a big soda, get a popcorn, just relax.
Yeah, I hate the saying it is what it is, but if you just are there to be entertained, Jimmy Mack, I think he's already seen it 5 times. I'm not really sure. You can listen to his review on Rebel Force Radio, his podcast. Pretty sure he liked it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, people seem to be having a good time. And if you go in with that, I think I was talking to somebody the other night that I feel like we've lost the art of just enjoying a summer movie. And I don't say this specifically, that back in the day, there used to be more movies that were geared towards, hey, it's really hot outside. Do you want some air conditioning and some soda? And you come in and watch a movie and have a good time for 2 hours. And now they all need to be franchise extenders and part of IP and selling all these different things. You know, go for 2 hours, take the kids. Have a good time at the movie theater.
Good advice. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news, and then we're going to continue talking television with Alex Zalbin. You can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Bob Kessler has your news coming up next here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent, and we are talking with Alex Zalbin about TV and movies and other things. I heard Bob Kessler do some news earlier this week, and what are we doing on the moon, Bob? We're sending people to the moon and putting something there?
There are plans to build a base on the moon. It won't open up till the 2030s.
Okay. Well, you know what I thought of immediately, Alex, the show Hello Tomorrow. Do you remember that on Apple TV with Billy Crudup?
Yes. Yeah, that I think only ran one season, maybe. I might have that wrong. But Billy Crudup is so great and wild in absolutely everything.
And it's basically, it's a retro futuristic world. I couldn't help but think of this, Bob, when you reported it. Jack Billings, played by Billy Crudup, is this charismatic salesman, and he leads a team of sales associates, and they're going to revitalize their customers' lives by selling them timeshares on the Moon. It's really an interesting, good show. I enjoyed that, but it's done. It never came back, right?
Yeah, they only did one season. I will say, though, there is another show called For All Mankind that also deals with very similar things, which was an alternate history of the space race where Russia got into space first before the United States, and things kind of spin out from there. Probably not coincidentally, there's a new show called Star City that is a spinoff of For All Mankind, which shows the Russian perspective of that show. So while we've seen over the course of several seasons, For All Mankind, first they establish a moon base. I believe in the current season, if I recall, they're on Mars. Russia has been in the background doing their own thing. We never really get to see what they're doing, so they're going to rewind time and show that, and that's going to be debuting starting on Friday. It stars Reese Ethans, who people might know from House of the Dragon and other things, and a bunch of other great actors.
All right, well, I'll watch that. Star City, Apple TV. So is Yellowstone still going on?
Yellowstone is done,
okay.
And though this is far too long of a story to repeat at the time that we have today, the short version is because of clashes between Taylor Sheridan and Kevin Costner, the star, it just kind of ended the show. It finished, even though it was a massive hit. However, there's been a ton of Yellowstone spinoffs, and the latest one, Dutton Ranch, is a huge hit in and of itself, and maybe even has a chance to be bigger than Yellowstone. Includes a couple of the characters from the main show, including Beth, played by Kelly Riley, and Rip, played by Cole Hauser. And recently, Paramount Plus reported that it was their biggest original series premiere on streaming ever. It also went on broadcast and did pretty solidly there as well. But that's a really good start for the spinoff. It beat Landman, the Billy Bob Thornton show that was the previous biggest show for Paramount Plus. So off to a strong start, and given the lack of Yellowstone, I would expect Dutton Ranch is going to become everybody's next big obsession.
All right, and Kevin Paul's in the sports lounge. You had a question for Alex?
Alex, we've been watching Euphoria Season 3. It's weird. It's disturbing. It's good. A lot of big names in the series. What one episode ago, what have you made of this season of Euphoria? And
boy.
Yeah, right, exactly. This last episode was every Sunday night we watch it, Alex. We're like, that was like not the best way to just like end the weekend and head into the week. It's unsettling the entire series. One, what have you thought of the season? And do they plan on more seasons after this? What's the plan with
these? Are both great, very complicated questions. But to try to answer them as succinctly as possible for people who don't know. This is the third season of the show. It stars Zendaya, Sydney Sweeney, a bunch of other folks. It started as a very raunchy look at high school, with a lot of nudity, a lot of sex, a lot of drugs, other things. But I'll tell you, I loved the first season. I thought underneath all of that, like, glitter, there was a really beautiful, beating human heart to it. Second season was mixed. Fantastic performances by Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney in particular. This third season, they are 5 years on from high school and stuck in the middle of a combo of Western and crime caper, which is a weird fit for all of these characters to jump to an entirely different genre and theme for the show. It's still beautifully filmed, and there are some great acting in it, particularly from Zendaya. She's got a lot to do. But like you were saying, every episode is this weird ride of, without getting too explicit about it, Sydney Sweeney grew to gigantic size and destroyed Los Angeles like Godzilla in one episode. There was a guy trying to knock Zendaya's head off with a polo mallet. So it's bizarre. I don't think it's all working, but I really can't stop looking away. And to answer your question about more, we have one more episode. Sam Levinson, the creator, has said he approaches every season as if that is their last season. They're all growing up. They're all becoming huge, huge Hollywood stars. So it's going to get harder and harder to bring them back together. But it's also an enormous ratings hit for HBO. So while this next episode coming up on Sunday may wrap up the show, never say never in terms of doing another season somewhere down the road.
All right, I'm in. I'm going to watch it now, Kev, because of you.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just like Alex said, I mean, after each episode, Bridget and I are like, do we like it? It's like, we think we like it. It's good. It's weird. I kind of hate it at times, too, but it's, you can't stop watching it.
Yeah, basically enjoy and also we're sorry.
Right.
Excellent. Well, Alex, always a pleasure to talk to you. And he is the host and producer of Comic Book Club podcast. And you can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Alex, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. Always appreciate it.